Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Hello, welcome to the Keep Sounding Podcast. This is Brian, joined by John, as always, your free agency edition of the Keep Sounding Podcast, as the Panthers have made several moves that we will discuss in detail. John, how are you doing this
Great
evening?
Great detail. I'm doing good. It's there's more daylight. It's warm outside. Vibes are great.
Yeah.
Panthers lawn, have lots of new players.
Yeah, lawn grass is growing, you know. So,
yeah, too fast.
Yeah, way too fast. So yeah, it's been a very eventful Carolina Panthers free agency period. In fact, a lot more eventful than I would have thought going in over the last few days. I kind of just expected them to go the Dave Gettleman route, where they are completely silent for like the first wave of free agency, and then that's when all the signings happen. That has not been the case. It was kicked off by them eventually finally trading Brian Burns, ending that whole saga that we've been dealing with since last offseason. Brian Burns goes to the Giants for a second round pick this year from the Giants, their first second round pick, and a fifth round pick next year in 2025. And they flipped fifth round picks to between the Giants. They just kind of traded spots. So,
oh, wait, so that, is that what the official one was? 141 for 140?
No, it was, okay. No, they,
wait, 165?
Yeah, they flipped the Christian McCaffrey fifth round pick for a later pick. So it actually worked in the Giants' favor in that instance. At least that's what I can gather. As any of you who have been reading CSR over the last couple days might know, there's been a lot of confusion over this because there was the initial reporting by many outlets was that the Panthers were getting a 2024 fifth round pick out of this trade. But then all of a sudden the Panthers official website came out and said it was a 2025 fifth round pick, which means we have no idea what pick number it is. So as of right now, the Panthers possess the second, the 33rd overall pick and the 39th overall pick in the second round, the 65th pick in the third round, the 101 pick in the fourth round, and picks 141 and 142 in the fifth round, along with pick 240 in the seventh, which was part of a trade that we will discuss here in a second. But yes, the as of what we know right now, coming from the Panthers directly, they did not get a 2024 fifth round pick for Brian Burns. So then the Giants went along and made Brian Burns the second highest paid edge rusher in the NFL. So $150 million max, but basically he's right there in the $28 to $30 million range, just depending on performance. So, John, what are your thoughts?
Let's see. There's a lot to unpack. Trade's not great, but like, especially in the context of what the Panthers reportedly could have gotten a couple of years ago. But I think it's really, really, how do I put this, stupid to compare those things, because one, the like, you can, there's no like take backsies. Like, it's not like the Panthers were like, no, we don't want that, we still don't want that deal, we want this one instead. They, you could, if you know, like hindsight or whatever, if you knew you're going to trade him now, they definitely would have gone back and traded him then. They probably didn't have it in their plans to trade him now. Also, it's different, entirely different front office structure at the time. So a lot of stuff has changed since that deal was on the table. And also just like the passage of time and the contract status and stuff has changed to the value of Brian Burns. So a disappointing like overall return on the trade, but like I mean, I don't know how much more the Panthers could have gotten. I'm kind of just happy it's over. And there's and I'm also like a little conflicted because I don't like how, and this isn't just Panthers fans, everybody does this, especially now this time of year. It's like coping season. And every player that's no longer playing for my favorite team now actually sucks, even if I just liked him like 2 weeks ago. And so I get like a little annoyed that like Brian Burns has, over the course of these like contract kind of this contract situation, has become this like you know, lazy, sandbagging, no good, terrible, overrated pass rusher, when like it's not quite the case. But you know, that's what we're gonna do. But I don't think I ever told this story on the show, but I'll tell it now since he's not here anymore. On a personal level, I'm glad I don't have to like deal with my personal conflicts with him anymore. My girlfriend's friend did some work for him, like small business, just her. She is her own business. She did some makeup stuff for him for an event, for a thing, and he just like never paid her. And him and I think his mom just started dodging her whenever she tried to like get payment from, you know, the multimillionaire athlete for just herself as her one person business, tried to help him out. And he just, as far as I know, just never did. And if he ever did, it would took like a whole battle, and that kind of always left a sour taste in my mouth. And so I always kind of didn't like rooting for him. But so if you get any more reason to not like Brian Burns, I guess like here's a reason for you. Since I think everybody's looking for those. So on a personal level, like I guess not upset about it, even if I think like on the football side it wasn't the best trade. But you know, I'm just glad to be done with that whole saga, and I'm tired of reading about it. I'm tired of people talking about it. I'm tired of the discourse around it. I just am, I'm glad it's gone. I'm glad the whole situation's gone.
So on my level, I'm not sure how to comment on that just because I don't know the whole details of all that, but on my level, I understand why fans say that they didn't get enough for him. I do get that. It's unfortunately you wanted a first round pick, maybe more, but the difference in the context is that back in 2022, when the Rams offered all that, number one, they were future first round picks, not the following season. But number two, the Rams would have then gotten him coming off a really good season. And they had the franchise tag, and I believe, and even the first year option to make something work. So that's why the draft compensation at that time made a little more sense, because then they would have had 2 years to figure out his contract. In addition, the Giants actually made a trade. They traded away defensive lineman Leonard Williams, another high defensive lineman pick, in 2023 for basically the same compensation, the 2024 second round pick and a 2025 fifth round pick. So the Panthers got that a year later, where those picks mean a little more as far as trades go. But in the end, I mean, Brian Burns was coming off one of the his worst season as a pro, aside from his rookie year where Ron Rivera refused to play him. And they really had no leverage. I mean, they were a bad team. They were going to have to pay him a lot more than he was probably worth, and then they chose not to pay him the huge amount of money that he was asking for. The Giants got him on a little bit of a discount, but at the same time, still like 28 million a year, can make up to 30 million a year. The writing was on the wall at that point. Like, I fully expected the Panthers to trade Burns unless they couldn't find a trade partner. So it is what it is, basically, is I guess my stance on it. Like, they had to do something with him if he wasn't going to be, if they couldn't sign him to an extension. You couldn't let him walk away for nothing. You might not have, with how bad this team is, you can't get it. You might not have gotten the third round compensatory selection for whatever contract he signed in 2025. So it is what it is. I mean, I get why fans are mad about it, about the compensation, but at the same time, when you look at it objectively, there was no reason for any team trading for Burns to give up a first round pick when they knew Carolina was kind of had their backs against the wall at that point. Where in 2022, they had a lot more leverage because they could just hold him for 2 years. So,
right. And it's like, it's not like the current, and I know Dan Morgan has been here, but you know, he wasn't the final decision maker. But I don't think it's entirely fair to say like the front office now can't be like, we can't trade him because the other GM turned down a bigger offer for him, so we can't trade him for whatever we can get now. You know, like,
right.
I feel like you have to kind of, I don't know. I don't think it's fair to like compare the put like make the two compare like the two potential transactions, like put them side by side, just because the situations are different, the people involved are different.
Right. And the other part of the deal that factors into it was that his franchise tag money was holding up them making moves in free agency. So they needed to free that money up. And I tweeted this from the CSR handle. They had to make a move and they had to make it fast because the free agents were out there. They were signing deals in the tampering period.
Yeah.
Not signing them, but agreeing to them. So
yeah, to get the deal done before the tampering period ended.
So yeah, they needed to get the deal done so that they could go to these guys and say, hey, this is the contract we're going to offer. They could have backloaded a bunch of these deals, but at the same time, like having that $20+ million in their pocket for free agency when they have probably more holes than any other team in the NFL, it sucks, but it is what it is. Like, I totally understand it. I'm not going to sit here and say it was the best deal in the world. I just am saying I get it.
Yeah.
I also understand why fans are mad, but
it's also, on the flip side, there's also just a funny thing about how, I don't know, poorly thought of he seems to be by the fan base, and how also we're supposed to get more for him though. I don't know. I feel like there's a little bit of cognitive dissonance there. You know what I mean? Like Brian Burns, I don't know. He's trash. He's overrated. He's, you know, not as good as he thinks he is. And also the Panthers should be, and he should not worth the contract he got, but also the Panthers should get more draft compensation for him. I don't think both of those things can be true.
Yeah, no, I mean, we were arguing all offseason, and basically a lot of the uniform Panthers fans' opinions was that he was not worth the money that he was asking for.
Right, and if he's not worth that money, then he probably isn't worth as much in a trade as you want. So,
yeah.
It's kind of how that works.
I mean, he's still young. He can still develop into a really good pass rusher, but as far as this situation goes, I think Carolina made not the most of it, but as best they could given the situation.
Yeah, so, they got something. Something's better than nothing.
Yeah. So. But on the flip side, they did make another trade that actually seems like Carolina, like, low-key won it.
yeah, I feel like for as much as the Panthers maybe lost the Burns trade, I feel like they won this trade.
Yeah, so
he's come out net even.
We were planning on recording this show yesterday. John, unfortunately, could not. When I say yesterday, I should say Tuesday. John, unfortunately, could not make it, so we had to push it to Wednesday. And good thing he did, because during that time, the Panthers managed to flip cornerback Dante Jackson, who they were already planning on cutting and had reported they were going to do, meaning there wasn't a lot of trade leverage there. They managed to flip him for wide receiver Deontay Johnson from the Pittsburgh Steelers, along with they flipped a sixth round pick to the Steelers. The Steelers flipped a seventh round pick back to them. That was that was the last pick that I mentioned when I was rattling off their draft picks. So now the Panthers have a guy who could be a wide receiver one for them. Looking at Matt Harmon, friend of the show's evaluations of him over the last year or so, one of the best wide receivers in the NFL getting open. Not necessarily, he's not like a 4.2, 4.3, 40 type fast player, but he's really good at getting open. And if they're already going to let Dante Jackson go, getting Deontay Johnson back in return was a really good trade. Not a huge difference in cap in what they'd be paying him over Dante Jackson. They are going to need they're going to need another corner regardless, but overall, very happy with that trade. I feel like it was a win-win regardless for both teams just based on the situation, but big win for Carolina to get one of the top wide receivers that was available in that trade.
Yeah, it was funny because like when it was like the Panthers are trading Dante Jackson to the Steelers, it's like, oh yeah, I forgot he was even on the team still, because like I had already kind of like mentally removed him from the roster after the reports that the Panthers were going to cut or trade him. So then it's like, not only are they did they find a person to trade him to, they're getting like arguably a better player back. It was like, oh, cool. That's like way better than I expected. Yeah, Deontay Johnson's good. Like, I feel like he is a, I don't know, like lower level wide receiver one, like a good 1A, 1B type of wide receiver, which is way better than what the Panthers had last year.
Yes, they
And
had a 3A and 3B and 3C for the most part.
right. So like, and he's good at like the one thing that the Panthers were terrible at last year, which is like getting open and creating separation. So I don't know. It kind of feels like they got something for nothing, and they got like a lot of something for nothing. And I don't know. I'm not really the like the dropping back for like the sixth round to the seventh round. Like, don't care at all. Like all that stuff, you're just picking from the same generally ranked. Like in terms of like your grades, you're probably getting a very similarly ranked player in either of those picks. You just like don't have as many choices to make. So don't care about what happens with those day four picks, other than especially because like if they like lost a pick would be less ideal, but like just moving down, don't care at that point in the draft.
Yeah, the biggest risk with this trade they made, and I talked to a couple Steelers fans because I'm up in PA country, was just the attitude issues. Apparently there were a couple different times where there was he didn't block when he should have or something like that. And he's the Panthers got him. He's coming on a contract year, so if it turns out that that all was legit and he's not. He's just not a good locker room presence, not a good mental player. Fine, you let him go next year, whatever. Like they were getting rid of Dante Jackson anyway, so
It's a low risk move.
they're
Almost
giving
low risk move.
Deontay a chance to prove himself. They're giving him a chance. They're giving Bryce Young a weapon who has proven himself to be pretty good in the NFL. Not like a perennial 1,000-yard receiver, but he's been pretty close most of the seasons he's been in the league, and he does have 1,000-yard season. So I don't expect the wide receiver moves to stop here, but this is a great addition for a wide receiver group that was really bad last year. Not to say that Bryce Young was all that great either, but this is something to definitely give him a opportunity to improve. So overall, I like the trade. It worked out both ways or in good ways for both teams as far as the situation with each player. So,
I have
but
a
yeah,
question. I have a question for
yes.
you because I've seen a lot of this. Does the signing of Deontay Johnson change anything for the Panthers' draft approach in terms of how strongly they target a wide receiver and the type of wide receiver they target?
I don't think it does.
I don't either.
Because Adam Thielen is on his last legs. I think he was that Hail Mary to be like, oh, we need a wide receiver one last year. I think he'll be fine. I think he'll be a great complementary player to him. But as far as when you're drafting, especially high in the draft, you are drafting for the long term. Like I haven't given up on Jonathan Mingo yet. I know a lot of Panthers fans have, but
Yeah, a lot of people.
he
Well, a
was.
lot of Panthers fans gave up on him before like the end of that night that he was picked.
Yeah, so I still could see them doing that based on the way they've handled free agency as well. I do think that they're all in on making the offense better, and I get it because this is the year. This is really a good year to figure out if Bryce Young is the guy. Like, because they, with all the stuff that's happened between losing trading away Brian Burns, losing Frankie Louvu, losing Yetur Gross-Matos in free agency, their defense probably is going to suck regardless, no matter what they do on defense. So it's going to be, I feel like this is going to be the year where you say, okay, at the end of it, you say, okay, the Panthers didn't win enough games because the defense sucked rather than Bryce Young being bad. That's the best case scenario. So I do, based on their moves, I do feel like what they're doing is trying to build around Bryce Young, which leads me to believe they could very well take a wide receiver at 33. They could take another one, whether it's in the fourth, fifth, seventh round. I could see them doubling up on wide receiver anyway. So that's how I
Yeah.
feel.
Yeah, I just and this happens every single time a move is made and it never comes to fruition. I don't know why people like still think this way, but I saw a lot of like, all right, the Panthers traded for Deontay Johnson, who's like a average to below average sized wide receiver. So obviously now if the Panthers draft a wide receiver, it's going to be Xavier Leggett or Keon Coleman, because like surely they wouldn't have another smaller wide receiver, even though like you can have room for multiple guys of the same size and the same on the field. I don't think, and like what you said with Thielen and Johnson, neither like Thielen for sure is not part of the long-term plans. Johnson is up in the air. I don't think you're making draft decisions based on a 28-year-old in the last year of his contract.
Right.
So if the Panthers have, you know, a target at wide receiver that they like, I don't think they're going to be like, well, Ladd McConkey's the same size as Deontay Johnson, so we need to take the big guy out of Florida State because that worked really well the first time. I know they're different players.
Right.
It's a joke.
Yeah.
So yeah, I don't think it changes anything. And then I think also I agree with the point, and I think we'll talk about him a little bit more on a smaller scale as we kind of run through the rest of the pickups. It feels like this year is very much you know, total team expectations kind of irrelevant and low. It's like setting the offense up with as much talent as possible for the with the constraints that the Panthers are working under in terms of, you know, cap room and draft picks and stuff. And basically it's like, all right, we're going to give Bryce Young everything he needs to succeed, and he's going to sink or swim. And if he sinks, the team is going to be really bad because we don't have a lot on defense anyway, and that'll set the Panthers up to do some other direction long term for quarterback, or he's going to prove that he's worth what the Panthers got for him, and then they can build out, you know, the rest of the team like from there. But I think it seems like this offseason is setting up to get an answer to the quarterback question as best
Yep.
it can.
Yep. They're doing exactly what Canales thought. And Canales has said that he doesn't think that Bryce Young is beyond saving. So, I mean, this is what you do. Like, Bryce Young can prove he's the guy. Maybe we see flashes. Maybe it's as long as it's an improvement on last year, I would think they'll continue to go that route. But if their draft pick that they actually have in 2025 is again in the top three, four picks, then maybe you move on from Bryce Young. But they're doing their damnedest to improve that, which segues great into the signings they've made.
Also, before we get to that,
Yep.
people sometimes forget that we might be making all these moves to make the team better around the current quarterback. And I don't know, people, I'll see things like, well, current quarterback is bad. It's like, well, you know, if he is bad and they go somewhere other direction, like the good players can still stay here.
Yes.
Like building up all this offensive line to make Bryce Young successful. Well, what if he still sucks? It's like, well, then we'll just bring in a different quarterback that now has a good offensive line and good wide receivers to throw to.
Yeah.
You know, like it's the whole, you don't have to throw the baby out with the bathwater or vice versa.
Right.
It's like, what's the point of signing all these good players if the quarterback's gonna suck anyway? It's like, I don't know. That way you have good players for when the quarterback doesn't suck or when you get a new one.
Yeah. You should still try to add good players.
Yeah. I would love a press conference where like the coaching staff or the front office is like, look, we're tied to Bryce Young this year. It's not going anywhere, so you got like, what's the point? And
Yeah.
then
Stop bitching. Just.
yeah.
Yeah.
Like I you know, Tepper called me into his office. He's like, why have we not signed anybody? I'm like, what's the point? We're gonna be bad anyway if that guy's playing quarterback. So
As if he wouldn't be fired on the spot.
right.
Yeah.
Made the team
Yeah.
as good as possible. And like I said, now you can evaluate what you have and, you know,
Right.
make decisions based on that next year.
Exactly. So. But the Panthers did the thing that I think makes a lot of sense for Bryce Young when you specifically look at the context of a guy like Drew Brees. The one thing that Drew Brees had during his most successful years in New Orleans was a really strong interior, which is something that Bryce Young had the inverse of last year.
Yes.
Granted, it was a lot of it was injuries, but at the same time, you're playing guys that were signed off, literally off the streets at guard. So the Panthers made it very clear very early that they want to address that problem. So they went and signed Robert Hunt at guard, right guard for the Dolphins, and they signed guard Damian Lewis, left guard for Seattle. Big money, 5 years for $100 million for Hunt, 4 years, $53 million for Lewis, to pretty much just shore up the guard position completely. I mean, they have Austin Corbett was their starting right guard when he's healthy last year. Brady Christensen was their starting left guard last year for one game. He was decent in 2022. So now Carolina not only has two pretty high-end starters at guard, they have some pretty fucking good depth, too, between Christensen. If Corbett has to slide back to guard, they can. The center situation's a little bit up in the air because it sounds like Corbett's going to slide in there, but they could also spend a draft pick on a center. So I'm going to target those two specifically first just to start. But, John, what do you think about that? Because I saw some football nerds on Twitter saying that guard is not typically a position where you need to have high-end guard talent to win. And it's not, it usually has the lowest percentage of correlation between high-end guard talent and being a good team. So what are your thoughts on that?
So I think everybody uses the Drew Brees, talks about the Drew Brees model because he's short and Bryce Young is short. And I think that's fair. I feel like more recently and maybe more relevantly, it's also kind of the Chiefs model with Patrick Mahomes, who's not short.
Yes, it is.
But that is what the Chiefs had last year. They had a really, really good interior offensive line and tackles that were not as good. But, you know, it's a different way of constructing an offensive line. It's not like the traditional way of constructing an offensive line. And it's probably, and I think it's definitely a fair point that, like, having one good guard probably doesn't really affect the overall play of your offensive line all that much. What I do think is more important, like the nuance of this though, is having if Corbett's healthy and the two new signings pan out, you have a really good entire interior of your line, and that can kind of is kind of a set and forget in every kind of, you know, for most plays. And then Moten's pretty good on the outside, but either way, now you have like kind of some resources freed up on the edges to help any tackle that may be struggling, or like if they have a difficult pass rusher. I feel like it might be a little easier to scheme up like chips and double teams and things like that, and also and just like formations to interrupt pass rushers on the edge if you know the interior is set. There aren't really good tackles to sign in free agency. So if you want to make your offensive line better, you don't really have an option. You have to sign the guards, because what big name tackle are the Panthers signing to make the offensive line significantly better, especially because Moten is like a staple on the right side and he's been very good. And then Ekwonu wasn't great last year, but showed flashes as a rookie. Like the guard is definitely a bigger need. You're not going to sign tackles that are worth anything in free agency because teams don't let those players go typically. So, you know, if you're going to improve your team, you kind of have to do it with what's available to you.
Yeah, I agree. And Ekwonu had a lot of help his rookie year. Part of it was the tight ends and like running backs chipping and stuff. But a lot of it also had to do with the fact that Brady Christensen played the entire year, where in 2023, he had a revolving door at left guard.
Every door was bad.
Yeah, and even the guys who they put in a left guard ended up shifting right guard at times too due to their injuries, which you can't really plan too much for injuries. But now Carolina has four guys that are all, you know, they could start every single game at guard on their roster if you view Brady Christensen that way. I think it'll help a lot, especially just because the two guys that they got, big dudes, really violent run blockers. So, I mean, if you have any optimism about Miles Sanders turning it around for the Panthers, I mean, this is the way, you know?
Yeah.
Get those offensive guards, let him run up the middle. I mean, I was very happy with it. I know that, you know, the Panthers need edge rushers. They need another corner at least. Like, they need wide receivers, but you know, a really good offensive line is a lot of times what wins Super Bowls. Not saying the Panthers will win a Super Bowl by any means, but a lot, if you look at the last several years of Super Bowl contenders, a lot of them had really strong offensive lines and a lot of them had really strong interiors too. And I mean, hell, the Panthers 2015 squad that made the Super Bowl, one of the strongest interiors we've ever seen in franchise history. So I don't hate it, and both of those guys are gonna be around if Bryce Young turns out to be a bust and we have to move on from him. 5-year contract, 4-year contract, you know. I'm sure there's outs within the first 2 to 3 years, but they are under contract for until both of them are under contract until 2028. So
right, and like I was saying before we talked about the guard specifically, like that's yeah. where if you know, say Bryce Young flames out and the Panthers get another top pick a quarterback. Now quarterback's already got an offensive line ready made for him. The other thing I think that's been kind of a little bit of consternation is the value of the contracts, which I think they're both high, but I think there's two things that we need to remember. One, the Panthers have to pay the shitty team tax. If a bad team wants a good player to come play for them, they're going to have to pay them more than a good team would. They have that, which, you know, it's their own doing, but we're evaluating the moves in the moment, right? They can't change their past at this point. And two, with how much the salary cap has like increased over the last couple of years, I feel like it's hard to kind of recalibrate what market value is for different positions, right? Like,
oh yeah.
The salary cap has gone up like tens of millions of dollars in the last two seasons. Like these moves that are like the same that are seem significantly larger than what you would expect a certain position to get, are like the same percentage of the cap. Like the salary cap has gone up almost $50 million in two off seasons. Like, so, and it's increased by like 25%. So, you know, about a contract that was somebody that was worth $8 million before is worth $10 million now, is still the same amount relative to the whole cap. So,
yeah, and I mean, looking at their deals, they essentially replaced Brian Burns with two guards, a couple of a defensive lineman, a linebacker, and a cornerback with the money that they would have given up for Brian Burns' first year of his deal, or at least his signing bonus, because, you know, they can creatively structure the cap. But yeah, overall, I mean, I don't hate either of those moves at all. They were both proven guards in the NFL. And they have some good guards behind them, too. So now instead of having, like, you know, nothing when if one of them gets hurt, they're in a decent situation. The one thing, too, just to add on to the shitty team tax, which, as you know, I've been saying all free agency period, all of, what, several days. But Frankie Louvu, one that a lot of Panthers fans hated to see go, I myself included. I saw a report that the Panthers actually offered him more than he was given for Washington, and he still took Washington's deal. You want to know why that is? Because the Panthers had to pay the shitty team tax.
Yeah. And again,
still didn't work.
It's their own doing, but it's also like, again, like you can't change it now. So like, that's the reality of the situation. And you know, you have to keep that in mind as you're, you know, looking at each individual move.
Mm-hmm. Yep, unfortunately. And same thing with Yeter Gross-Matos before we take a break, but he got a pretty fucking good deal from the 49ers. I want to say he was averaging, it's a 1-year deal for like $8 million. Maybe it was a 2-year deal for like $8 million a year. But based on his overall body of work in Carolina, that seems like a lot for him. And I don't think Carolina. I don't think Carolina.
2 years, $18 million, yeah. So $9 million a year.
So $9 million a year, yeah. I mean, he was definitely better last season, but the Panthers really can't afford to spend that kind of money when they had so many holes elsewhere on someone who was kind of a question mark. I mean, he was playing outside linebacker for the Panthers last year. He did shift inside as an interior rusher at times, but he was playing out of position for the Panthers last year. So do you want to take that chance on him? They need edge rushers, not saying that they don't. And I'm sure I will be talking about it the entire offseason. That is the biggest position they need to address right now as far as going forward in free agency and the draft. So,
yeah.
But again, go ahead.
I was just saying, it shows how much money it costs to sign free agents right now.
Yeah, that's because the cap went up. Teams have money to spend and there's competition. That's how it always is in free agency. We do it every year. We get mad about contract values, but I don't feel that the Panthers overpaid too much for anybody yet. So we'll see. We'll see how that goes. But yeah, the Panthers made some splash moves as far as their offense goes, but they did a little bit of additions on defense as well. And I know we were talking about this during the early part of the week, but we were a little bit worried about Jiro Evero's sanity
yeah.
with with Brian Burns going, Frankie Luvu going, you know, just Yeter Gross-Matos. So they did make some moves to help out there on defense. First things first, defensive tackle A'shaun Robinson, 3-year, $22.5 million deal. Real big dude.
Very big dude.
Yeah, I think that was the one where they, not necessarily this staff, but they realized that they were missing something, and that was the big beefy boy in the middle to take some of the pressure off Derek Brown to perform, because he was getting double teamed into oblivion last year. Yeah. So A'shaun Robinson's probably their nose tackle. Granted, I know there was some discourse about the fact that he probably won't play more than 50% of the snaps. I get it, but at the same time, Derek Brown is your probably best defender on this defense. You could say J.C. Horn maybe, but that depends on if he's healthy or not. But Derek Brown really needs some help, and A'shaun Robinson was definitely the guy to be helpful, because you just can't not block a guy that big. So, John, what are your thoughts?
I mean, hog mollies are good, right? We still say that?
We do.
Can't teach 6'4", 230 or 335 pounds.
Right.
yeah, he's, I mean, I don't know, like, I know edge rushers are the priority, but also kind of the same thing. If you got to kind of take what you can get, and it does fill a large void that was next to Derek Brown on the interior of the line last year, because the whole, like, shy tuttle thing didn't really work out so great. And, you know, I think it's just a solid player. I mean, I don't really know if I'm super concerned about the snap count, because it's kind of normal for really big guys to not play a hefty majority of the snaps, unless they're Derek Brown. So, I don't know. Just add bodies there to take some pressure off and, you know, add some beef up front.
Yep, and fun fact, he was also a New York Giant, so more business being done with the Giants. He was signed to a 1-year, $8 million deal with the Giants last year. So not quite that for a 3-year deal with the Panthers. A little close, but not quite there. But yeah, I agree. The whole Shy Tuttle thing initially made a lot of us scratch our heads, but we trusted the coaches last year. I think that this is a much better strategy, is to let him be the nose tackle, let Brown be the edge guys in the base 3-4, and just let him be fat, as my old high school coach would say.
Yeah.
Sometimes he would just be like, I just need you to get in the hole and be fat, and that's what this guy can do. Yep. Not going to get a lot of sacks out of him.
Any sacks out of him, but yeah.
Yeah. It is what it is.
In his career.
I mean, maybe they could try him at edge rusher. I feel like that's not going to work for him, but you know. Then we have linebacker Josie Jewell with the Ejiro Evero connection, 3 years, $22.75 million contract. Like that move. I mean, they already were kind of thin at linebacker. Then Frankie Luvu left, and they just need linebackers. And Evero seems to get the most out of the guys he's very familiar with. I mean, we have like Troy Hill, for example, that they re-signed. He had a familiarity with him. He played a lot better than I ever expected a guy to be signed, who was signed off the streets, mid-season, early in the season to play well. So they got him to pair with Shaq Thompson. Obviously not as good as Frankie Luvu, but, you know.
I mean, he also needs
somebody.
Panthers also paying like half as much as the Commanders are for Frankie Luvu, so that's just kind of what you get.
Yeah.
I think it's also kind of worth noting that Josie Jewell is kind of like the consolation prize, like the plan B, because by all reports, the Panthers were heavily pursuing Patrick Queen.
Yeah.
The Ravens.
That one was annoying, but you know.
What, that again, the Panthers didn't get him, or that attacks. It was I had already written a thing like ready to be published whenever the Panthers did sign Queen, and then they did not. So, you know, oh well, they tried, and that's what
important
counts for something, right? Yeah, like obviously you can't get everybody you target, because other teams also target the same players, and players can pick other places. So, I don't know. I guess they get some credit for pivoting to a plan B. That's not a bad plan B. Like, he had his best season of his career, arguably, statistically, probably, maybe inarguably. when he played for the Broncos, or 2 years ago with Ejiro Evero as his offensive or defensive coordinator. He had a career high in tackles, even though he didn't play in every game. The only two interceptions of his career, and probably would have a half sack off of his career high that he got last year. But again, he only played in 13 games, so I don't know. It's a good like he played well under Evero before. Hopefully, he does again. And like I said, it's not. Like credit to the Panthers for trying to go get like kind of a star level player that's really young and finding a whatever the best thing they could when that player decided to go somewhere else.
Yeah, I mean, it is what it is. They could have overpaid for him, and but they didn't. It's fine. I mean, it's one of the this is not the season where they're going to make a playoff run, or if they do, it's going to be because, Bryce Young plays way better than anybody ever expected. So it's fine. Get the guy that Evero's familiar with. He'll put him in the best position he can to succeed. I mean, the only player that ever I feel Evero didn't do well with was Jeremy Chinn, and I mean, Chin's not really the best case study just because it doesn't seem like he really fits anywhere full time in the NFL anyway. So it is what it is, but we'll move on. And last big one was Dane Jackson, former Buffalo Bills cornerback, appears to be the he's probably going to just kind of split time with Troy Hill and just kind of figure out what to do with the whole Dante Jackson being gone, CJ Henderson being gone. They're signing people at least. There's going to be bodies there, not just undrafted free agents or fifth or seventh round picks playing corner. At least they have some veteran depth there. So,
Yeah, and you can continue to we just continue to have a D-Jax at corner.
yes. Yep,
Just
we
get a couple.
replaced that real quick.
Yeah,
Not even 24 hours.
I know we traded Dante Jackson for Deontay Johnson and then signed Dane Jackson. So it just a little shuffling around of the DJs.
Yep.
I
Makes
don't.
sense.
Yeah, just and like I don't think there's a lot to say about Dane Jackson. He's just kind of like a rotational level cornerback, right? Not bad, not like a defense changer, but like can hold his own and definitely makes the Panthers better than they were before. And I don't know. I don't know if there's much more you could say about that.
No, I mean, Evero made the best of the corner situation last season. Granted, not having edge rushers is not going to help, but we'll see what he's got. I mean, he's a high level defensive coordinator, so we'll see if he can make something work there. So far, that about wraps up who they've signed, though I would have predict they're gonna.
One more.
Oh,
Amir Smith-Marset is back.
well, that was going to be my next thing was
Oh.
the re-signings.
Oh, well, okay.
Yeah. Now the re-signings were, and we'll just jump right into that. Amir Smith-Marset. They did not give him a restricted rights tender. They let him test the market, and they still brought him back after.
Which I thought was a good move.
I thought it was too. I mean, he has that skill set that they don't have really anywhere else in the wide receiver room at the current moment. He also was a very good returner for them. He had that one real nice return against the Chicago Bears last year. The one where I tweeted prematurely that it was called back by penalty and was subsequently roasted by Panthers Twitter. So always will remember that. But yeah, the Panthers did trade a very, very small amount of assets for him. I think it was like a seventh round pick or something like that last year.
Yeah.
So good to see him back. I'm sure he'll add to some creative wrinkles that Dave Canales can add. And then they also today just gave Raheem Blackshear the exclusive rights tender as well. So Blackshear, I believe a fan favorite, let's just say he is. I know there were a lot of fans who really wanted to see him get more snaps last year. So it doesn't seem like the running back room is going to change all that much this year. I don't remember reading them ever being involved with any negotiations for the top level running backs out there. So it seems like Chuba, Miles Sanders, Raheem Blackshear is going to return, which, I mean, is fine. They upgraded their offensive line, so hopefully they'll see a little bit more production out of that position. Not that it was bad. I mean, Chuba Hubbard was fine last year for what the situation was. Raheem Blackshear, I feel, excelled when he was given the rock. So,
Yeah, and then,
he's a cheap guy.
yeah, and then well, two special teams players too. Raheem Blackshear is good as a kick returner, and yeah, Also, we kind of talked about it, but Troy Hill back too.
Yeah.
So
I was really impressed with Troy Hill last year. I mean, just as a
same.
guy that they brought out of nowhere, and he played pretty well. And so I think that he'll end up, I have a feeling he's going to end up being cornerback too, even if they draft a corner in the draft, just to start the year anyway, just because
yeah.
He'll have that familiarity and that scheme, and is coming off a pretty good season. So that's all as far as the re-signings. Anything else you wanted to add there, John?
Not to the re-signings. I think the last thing was like the targets, right? The rumors.
Yeah, the rumors are not surprising, but the Panthers need edge rushers really badly.
So does
Amari
he meet
Barno.
With every red rusher?
Yeah, so Amari Barno and DJ Johnson are slated to be their starting edge rushers. Not great. Not a
No.
good situation. Granted, they are both draft picks, so that's, I know that's every draft Nick's dream, is to have your guys that you drafted late or middle or late in the draft to end up being your starters later, but this is not a good
Usually you want that
situation.
because they're good, not because they're the only players left on the roster.
Right, right. And they may change our minds. I mean, Amari Barno was impressive at times as a pass rusher, and, you know, DJ Johnson is DJ Johnson. But, so yeah, the current players that the Panthers are linked with in free agency are Jadeveon Clowney, Chase Young, and DJ Wonnum. That's the Vikings former edge rusher there. Going forward, the Panthers are meeting with all of them in the coming days. So all I know is that they could sign all three of them and I would not be upset.
I mean, yeah, I don't know if I don't think I can disagree with that. I think I'm probably least interested in Clowney just because of the age thing, but also, I don't know. He's also probably the best of the three in terms of like career production. So I don't know. I'd be happy with any combination of one or more of them.
I think Clowney has the safest floor. I mean, he's always been a good run defender. I will say, as of right now, the Panthers front seven looks horrible, but
yes,
having their group of defensive linemen together could make it easier for a guy like him to get some actual pass rush production aside from just the pressures. He's always gotten the pressures. He doesn't really get the sacks. Chase Young, I mean, he's only 24 years old, so there's always, you know, they could save that, his career. Wonnum was really good for the job for the Vikings last season. But yeah, I mean, I don't know if they're going to do it. I don't know if they can pull it off. I mean, I think Clowney is probably the most realistic they could pull off of those guys, just because they can, at this point, he's been doing 1 year contracts for the last, God, feels like a decade at this point.
Yep.
So that, I mean,
bring him home.
Yeah, bring him home. Let him play for the team that he considers his hometown. So I kind of want all three of them. A combination of both of them would be the best case scenario, or a combination of two of them would be the best case scenario. But I just hope they land one. That's where I'm at.
Yeah, if they could get any of them, I'm happy. If they get more than one of them, I'm even more happy. Don't care what combination or which one it is. Just get somebody.
Yeah, they just need anybody at this point with the edge. Like, the edge rush is just bad, like real
yeah.
bad.
Yeah,
like
it is a it is it is a precarious situation that they're in.
Yeah, you could probably get away with the rest of the defense the way it is, but edge rusher absolutely needs addressed.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. So I am pretty confident they'll get one of those guys. I feel like, I don't know, it'd be almost impressive to strike out on all three of them, but
yeah.
I don't know. The Panthers, you know, we talked about the only inside track I have, I think, is like Chase Young. I think their selling point is come here and, you know, you have no pressure here and rebuild your career. David Clowney, you have the hometown draw, especially because he's getting a little older. And then with DJ Wonnum, I don't know, just pay him more than anyone else will, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, play the.
He's from Georgia,
pay the shitty
so
green tax. Yeah,
yeah. He went to South Carolina, so he's like kind of localish. I don't know. Didn't
kinda
you like?
Localish,
didn't
yeah.
you like being in the area back when you were in college?
Yeah.
Want to come on back?
developed a little bit since then.
Yeah.
Yeah, unfortunately, people like Cam Jordan and Sean Merriman were out there basically being like, yeah, Carolina's not a prime location to land as an edge rusher. So thanks, guys. Really appreciate that.
Who else was it? Sean Merriman and who else?
Cam Jordan.
Oh, well, Cam Jordan's just kind of a troll all the time. And
perennial Panthers hater, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I don't think there's any like value, like credence to that at all. I don't know.
Yeah.
People come here and stick around all the time, like region, like for like the region and the area, and it's the NFL. I don't think locale and market really plays into anybody's decisions all that much.
Yeah, I mean, to Walker made a good point that he thinks that anybody they sign for an edge rusher will be on a 1-year deal, which is valid. I'd still take it. They need somebody.
Right. I mean, Wanham and Young, I would hope they could try to get for a little bit more. Like longer term, just because they're younger, especially Young. Get it. But
I get it.
Like I said, I'll just take whatever they can get. I'll be content with.
Yeah, that's kind of where I'm at too. I mean, they're going to get opportunities to play and make plays to hopefully get them paid later on, even if they take a 2 to 3 year deal. I mean,
yeah.
So Carolina needs them. They're going to definitely get their work. The last position that I low key want, well, it's not even low key, but they definitely need to look at safety as well, and whether that's in the draft or in free agency. But after letting Von Bell go, they have a hole there.
Yeah, and I know you just like perpetually want the Panthers to pick safety, so maybe
I just want them to have the best safety combo in the league. That's all. It's not that hard. It's not that much to ask for.
I don't think so. It's a very easy, attainable goal.
Yeah, not hard. I mean, safeties are undervalued as it is. You could just throw, you know, like $5 to $6 million at two of the best in the free agency, and there you go.
It is kind of crazy. It is crazy, like for all the I don't know, hand wringing that had been done over the running back position and not being able to get paid. Like safeties have been down bad for like way longer.
Years. Yeah.
Like I remember, there's like top tier safeties that have just been just sitting out there and signing like 1 year deals for like a few million dollars. So.
Right.
Maybe they need to have a Zoom meeting. Talk about why.
Have a Zoom meeting with the last safety who ends up signing the next big deal for their position. Yep. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't be upset if they brought Sam Franklin back and just let him start. Yeah. I mean, he's on the upswing. You know, if they can't find somebody who is a veteran who actually wants to come here, like bring Sam Franklin back, pay him, you know, like $5-6 million and just see what happens. I mean, I've always liked him. He's a great special teams player. Granted, I don't want him playing special teams if he's their full-time starting safety, but it's an option. I mean,
yeah,
they need something. They need to get anybody back there.
There's some decent options out there right now. So,
oh yeah. Mm-hmm. Hell, they could bring Von Bell back on a cheaper deal. Who knows?
Right. Yeah. Like Justin Simmons, who played for Evro.
Yep, that is true. That is one that the Panthers have been reportedly linked to. That would be a really good fit.
Yeah. They're willing to pay a little bit more for a top-tier free agent. Yeah, there's some I don't know all of the like kind of like recent production, but like there's some interesting names like Justin Simmons, Buda Baker, Eddie Jackson, Quandre Diggs, Micah Hyde, like good players out there.
Oh, I'd pay Eddie Jackson and not think twice about it. That guy was so good for Chicago.
Jamal Adams. He's basically
not do that.
A defensive end playing safety.
The only reason would be I've been making fun of him for being a linebacker for the last like 4 years on Twitter. So I'd really like to not have to walk
eat those
that
words.
Back. Yeah.
Well, maybe just like I said, maybe make him a pass rusher. Make him an edge rusher.
That would be an interesting decision.
what's the one thing he's good at from the safety position?
I will say if they want to make whatever the hell idea they had for Jeremy Chinn work from last season, Jamal Adams would be the guy to fill that role.
Yeah.
So There, you know, you could talk me into it. I mean, I mean, I'm always going to be a stand for any safety they sign just because I love safeties.
Right.
So, yeah. I want as many as you can have. If we don't have edge rushers, that's fine. If we have like six safeties, then whatever. We'll just do the.
I think we said it. I think I said it when we were like in our messages. I was just like, just rush. We're just talking like rush Derek Brown and everybody else drop into coverage.
Yeah.
Like he'll figure it out, but they'll want to be able to throw the ball.
The good old 110 defense. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. He's got one giant pass rusher and then just 10 little 210 pound guys running around out there.
Yeah.
Quarterback will know what to do.
Or they could do like the, what's the 3-8 defense where they just, they rush Tuttle, they rush A'shaun Robinson, and they rush Derek Brown, and then everybody else is a defensive back. Maybe that could work. I don't know.
Yeah, just no linebackers.
Yeah, no linebackers at all. Just all defensive line. Just all defensive backs. Yeah.
Just defensive tackles and safeties. That's all we got.
Mm-hmm. That's how you play to your strengths.
I think
definitely world. Yeah, definitely willing to come along as a scout for Evero and a defensive assistant. I can definitely be reached.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. I think we'll see if we can make that happen.
Just me tweeting at Evero, please hire me.
Yes. I have so many good ideas.
I have the best ideas that you could ever find ever anywhere.
I just see you draw your formation on a napkin. It's got three circles down on the line, and then just a line of eight people, like 8 yards behind them. Horizontal.
Yep. I call it cover 12.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. You start them all in a horizontal line. They don't know who's stepping forward, who's stepping back, who's dropping back. It's just they have no idea.
No. It's genius. Revolutionize the NFL. But anything else you'd like to add? Any other players you're watching for in free agency, or are we kind of just looking towards the draft at this point?
Yeah, I hope like we said, just to hope for one more hope for a pass rusher. Don't really care which one or how many, just something. And then one of those safeties would be cool. Even though I don't know, I think the Panthers are probably getting a little thin on cap space and stuff like that. But other than that, yeah, attention towards the draft. Which don't think any draft plans change based on any of the signings.
No, not at all. I mean, I think wide receiver, edge rusher, linebacker, even offensive line, they're still all on the table, I would think. Maybe not interior offensive line. They did dedicate a lot of their cap to it, but
yeah, I think every other position.
Yeah, I think every other position is on the table. Yeah. Except for quarterback. I don't think they're going to do that. Sorry to crush anybody's dreams there.
They could always do the whole like RG3 Kirk Cousins or just, I mean, there's never a never, it's never a bad idea. I mean, they don't have a great, they don't have a lot of assets, but if they like somebody in like the sixth or seventh round, just bring in a camp body, see what happens.
Yeah.
But I don't think that's going to also on the same kind of like on the other side of that coin. I don't think, you know, if they use like a fifth or sixth round pick on a backup quarterback, I don't think that's any sort of indictment on Bryce Young. It's just pick players that might help your team.
Yeah, Andy Dalton's got to retire eventually as well. So
yeah.
Well, all right then. We'll continue to monitor free agency for you. John Walker have been very good on keeping the coverage going throughout the day. I am just because
I was gonna say you've done some too. Yeah.
I do my best. Unfortunately, I can't during the day just because, you know, work. But, yeah, we're doing our best, and hopefully we'll continue to see great signings, and hopefully the Panthers draft, you know, six starters out of the draft. We'll see what happens there, though. But from all of us here at the Keep Sounding podcast, this is Brian joined by John breaking down the initial wave of free agency. I'm sure there will be more, and we will be back with you guys to talk about it. Stay tuned, stay safe, stay healthy, and we will talk to you soon.
See you.